There's something which happens on Easter Sunday that can rather easily go unnoticed. It concerns the lectionary, the scriptures appointed for today. As most Episcopalians know, the standard rhythm for the readings on Sunday is first the Old Testament reading, then an epistle from the New Testament, and finally the gospel appointed for the day. However, at Easter, we are invited to change things up. And this is what may have escaped our notice. Today, our first lesson was taken not from the Old Testament, but from the New. It was taken from the book of Acts. Acts was written by Luke as a companion to the gospel bearing his name. In fact, it is a sequel. And Acts serves a very specific function in the life of the New Testament. It serves precisely to give us an insight into the beginning of the church, the post-Easter church, how the church came to be, and within that one very important thing, what the early church, the church of the apostles themselves, had to say about Jesus, what they considered most urgent, most important. Our patron, St. Peter, is the apostle speaking to us today in Acts. In fact, this passage from Acts that we have heard is a prime example of an early sermon of St. Peter. It was, in Luke's mind, representative of what the apostles did and said when speaking to the people, whether preaching to their fellow Jews or, as the church spread, to the Gentile world. Now, with the Jews and the Gentiles, things could be handled a little differently. Obviously, the Jewish people knew the theological backstory. But what is much more important is what remained always and everywhere the same. It is the nucleus of Peter's sermon today. Peter preaches, "They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear. Not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as the judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." So, as Peter and James and John and later St. Paul and all the other disciples went about their apostolic business, it was this message that was shared. Shared with whatever power and words best served the situation, Jew or Gentile, believer or skeptic, whether knowledgeable of the messianic hope of Israel or needing to be brought up to speed, the message was always and everywhere the same. Sometimes the apostles would focus in on parts of what Peter preached today, and sometimes on the whole. But the message was the same everywhere. It never changed. It was simply that they had seen the risen Jesus, and that it had changed absolutely everything. Everything they had ever thought about Jesus themselves, and everything anyone else may or may not have ever thought about Jesus before his crucifixion and resurrection. At the bottom of it all was this: Jesus' death and resurrection changes everything. Everything we think we know or thought we knew about this world, about God's love for us and God's plan of salvation, about the great hope with which our mortal life is now infused, about forgiveness and mercy and grace, and about truly who Jesus is as Lord of all. But one more thing, a mission. The mission of Jesus for the apostles now is summed up deceptively simply in Peter's words today. "We were chosen by God as witnesses." In the exact words of the risen Jesus to them, "You are witnesses of these things." Let's return to that in a moment. A little over a week ago, I was listening to NPR, there was an interview going on about one of the recent books on climate change that was nothing short of dire in its prediction, especially so even among those books sounding an alarm. At one point during the interview, the interviewer questioned whether it was helpful to be so dire, so grim. Was that an effective strategy? Would it not be better to focus on the hope that people could rally and meet the challenge? What followed has remained with me. The author acknowledged that there had been much debate about what the best approach was to motivate, whether hope or fear. But what they had come to conclude is the best approach was something that they had seen our young people doing. Rather than hope or fear, they had focused on the moral argument. What kind of planet would their parents leave to them? Did we not care about the generation we would be leaving behind? Now, I want to be clear, I'm not trying to wade into the politics here. Rather, I want us to focus our attention on the direction these young people are going and to which the interviewee is directing us, the moral argument, and to transport it to the Easter gospel. Peter, Luke, James, John, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and all the others felt the moral imperative to be witnesses of these things. Witnesses that Jesus rose from the dead, that his cross brought forgiveness of sins, that God loves us and Jesus is Lord of all, and that true fullness of life unto eternal life is given in his name. And it changes absolutely everything. And of this, they have been made witnesses. This Easter, I'm here to make the moral argument for the sake of our children. The most recent survey of religious life in America found that there are now slightly more nuns, no religion at all, than there are Roman Catholics or evangelicals in our country. In 4 years, no religion will be the largest category in our nation. My friends, that is as serious as an Easter heart attack. We are being called back to the mission. Can we be set on fire to be witnesses to this generation of what the apostles have handed on to us? Will we feel the urgency of the moral argument to tell our children what has changed absolutely everything for this world? Easter 2019 is asking, as it has asked since 33 AD. Because the resurrection is a sign not only of the life to come, but that Jesus and all he taught and did truly are the Father's will for us now. He is the way. In fact, Acts tells us that one of the earliest names for Christianity was just that, the way of grace, truth, mercy, love, forgiveness, hope, faith, eternal life, and more and more and more in the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. I think that many Easters, we can leave church with another message. There are certainly many good Easter messages, but Jesus's victory over death and the birth of every hope through the cross and resurrection of Christ are what we are here to proclaim. And not just to hear it, but to share it. Not just to share it, but to say it is of first importance. My friends, we can make absolutely certain that our children and our children's children know that we too were witnesses to these things. Morally speaking, that we truly cared for the faith of the generation we will one day leave behind. Of course we can. Of course, as the apostles did, we will do, by God's grace, to move our children from wondering what it's all about to the way, to Jesus, to true life now and unto eternal life, to set them free, even as Jesus walked out of that tomb, free in the Spirit of the living God, free with the good news in their hearts, that God loves them and has a plan for them, and that Jesus is that plan. Witnesses. That is the operative word. We too can be witnesses of these things. The very things the apostles told us today, and they did everything to bring us, as did our ancestors right here in this church in their generation. Of course, we will rise to our most sacred calling. We live in a time of many words that say nothing, and we have the possibility of saying everything. Let me end. You know, the other day, like many of you, I was writing some checks to New York State and the IRS. It's funny how Easter and tax time often converge. It got me thinking about that old joke of how there are only two things certain in life, death and taxes. But you know, there is one more certainty. Jesus is risen. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep and to have heard the good news from those who love us changes everything. It is the duty of each generation, and none can avoid it. We have been born again in baptism to be witnesses. That, I believe, is the moral argument of Easter. And even as those blessed apostles left it to you and me at untold cost, we must share it for the life of the world. And just like them, our true joy will be found there. In the words of the psalmist, "Hosanna, Lord, Hosanna, Lord, send us now success." We know that he will, even as he did then. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Amen.